Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Will Whedon, is author of our Book of the Month for September, Celebrating the Saints. This devotional resource introduces you to a collection of feasts and festivals, as well as saints in the Bible and throughout church history. Celebrating the Saints is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Celebrating the Saints, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Scripture tells us, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Write them on the tablet of your heart.
My full, complete, unconditional support for marriage equality is at odds with the current doctrine of the church that I still attend. But I think that's going to change too.
Well, the real thing is what's in your heart. The real thing is our spiritual things, not these external things we do. Emotions are the sacrament for most American evangelical Protestants.
Topics you can really sink your teeth into. That's why Iowa dentists love Issues Etc.
There's a tendency, even among those of us who are just lay people, not experts in medicine or psychiatry or psychology, to seek the purely clinical approach when it comes to things like depression. We talk about clinical depression. It wasn't something that can be diagnosed and actually measured in some way by medical professionals. And then we take a clinical approach to its treatment. And look, there's nothing wrong with that. That's how we deal with all kinds of diseases of body and mind. But is that adequate for the Christian? Simply to say someone's depressed, the answer, the only answer, is to get on the proper regimen of medication. And the problem is and only is a chemical imbalance in the brain or something along those lines. Is it adequate for the Christian to view it in, well, let's just be honest, completely atheological terms? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio here in Collinsville, Illinois, on this Monday, September the 19th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about the devil, temptation, and depression. Pastor Todd Peppercorn will be our guest, author of the booklet, I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression. A little bit later, Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch joins us to talk about the attacks in Minnesota, New York, and New Jersey, the collapse of the caliphate, and increased terrorist attacks in Europe, killing of 25 in a Pakistani mosque by a suicide bomber, apparently. A mosque that was not sympathetic to all the aims of the Islamic State. Rita Marker joins us after that. A minor has been euthanized in Belgium. It's made the news, but it really isn't big news. It's just the way they do things over there. And increasingly, in the United States, the way we do things here, sad to say. Dr. Angus Manoj joins us after that. We're going to begin a series with him called Classroom Apologetics. We'll be doing Philosophy 101. What do you need to know to defend the Christian mind in the philosophy classroom, to defend the claims of Christianity in the philosophy classroom? Part one of Classroom Apologetics with Dr. Angus Manoj. Then Pastor Tom Baker joins us. We'll be talking about Deborah the Prophetess in Judges, chapters 4 and 5. You can join us with questions or comments over the course of the next 2 hours, or call in number 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. And our beloved on-demand listeners, feel free to use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. 618-223-8382. Pastor Todd Peppercorn joins us to talk about the devil, temptation, and depression. He's senior pastor at Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California, and author of the booklet, I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression. Todd, welcome back.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Is a purely clinical, atheological view of depression adequate for a Christian sufferer?
Well, here's how I try to answer a question like that. And let's take it a little sideways for just a moment and say, is a purely physiological solution for a broken leg sufficient? Well, and the answer to that is more or less yes, although it could be with any kind of disease or injury or illness that there would be spiritual or theological consequences. Now, the problem or the challenge when you're dealing with clinical depression or frankly, most any kind of mental illness or mental disorder, is that we're delving into the realm where the spiritual and the physiological just constantly intersect and go back and forth. And so while a medical or clinical approach to depression is going to be fine as far as it goes, I would argue that that is almost certainly not all that's going on, whether you're talking about a Christian or not. There's always more layers to what's going on because we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and our bodies are not simply physical or simply spiritual. We're one, and it's all mixed in together.
So you wouldn't limit it to depression. You'd say, look, this is all the maladies, the results of the fall that afflict man by way of his physical disease and suffering, have a spiritual aspect to them.
Well, I would say in some respects, yes. Let's take it from the perspective of the fall. If we look at the fall into sin and the consequences of sin in our lives, you can look at nearly anything that we deal with as human beings is going to be impacted by sin in some way or another. And when we talk about depression, it's maybe a little bit more direct. So take, for instance, Luther's explanation to the sixth petition, where he exhorts us that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. So if we look at a word or a biblical concept like despair and say this is a theological reality. This is a question of faith and how the devil is seeking to draw the Christian away from the sure promises of God and either into themselves or into nothing, essentially. Well, that is going to look an awful lot like depression from a clinical point of view. And so it's very difficult for the Christian to kind of unravel and say, okay, right now, is this despair that I'm feeling, or is this depression that I'm feeling? And I don't know, Todd, I'm not always sure that we're in a position, certainly if you're in the middle of it, to be able to say, okay, well, right now I'm dealing with a theological problem, but maybe 10 minutes from now I'll be dealing with a physiological problem. It's just not that simple. And so just because human beings are complex creatures, in the same way, our healing is going to be multifaceted. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Let's talk about how you kind of sort this out, the theological/spiritual from the physical, physiological. As a sufferer from depression yourself, you take medication, correct?
Yep, that's right.
And without that medication, what's your prognosis? I mean...
Well, my life would be a whole lot darker than it is right now. That's for sure. But the approach to healing that I've kind of landed on is a combination of medication, therapy, talk therapy, and spiritual care, and which is going to include confession, absolution, receiving the sacraments, being a Christian, receiving God's gifts. And you take any one of those away, and for me, that's gonna put something out of balance, so that I'm either going to be overweighing the physiological or I'm going to overweigh the spiritual. Honestly, Todd, I think a part of the problem is that we take sin both too seriously and not seriously enough. We take sin so seriously that we kind of act as if it is an insurmountable problem on the one end, as if Jesus didn't die and rise again from the dead. But on the flip side, we actually treat it flippantly or lightly as if it's not something that we even need to worry about. Now, both of those views are wrong, but Christians, you know, we don't handle balance very well. We want to either become complete secularists or complete spiritualists, and there's no sense of balance in between. And I think that's exactly what the devil wants. Because if he can convince me that my depression is either completely spiritual and has nothing to do with my body, or it's completely physical and it has nothing to do with my soul, well, in either case, he's in a much better position to draw me away from Christ. But if I'm comfortable with saying, yes, I am a poor, miserable sinner, yes, I am broken, and yes, I am tempted by false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice, that these are the things that I, as a human being, constantly do battle with, and that that's not unique to me as someone who suffers from clinical depression. That's normal. But just like that is normal, in the same way for the Christian receiving the forgiveness of sins, living constantly in our baptism, being who we are as Christians, that's a big piece of my identity. That is my identity, in fact. And if I forget that, then I'm going to be in much worse trouble.
So it's a three-legged stool, but I guess what I'm driving at here, the fact of the matter is, if you stop taking your medication or you take it inappropriately, all three of those, both the physical, emotional, and the spiritual situation for you is going to grow much worse. It's not as though you're going to say...
It's going to go out of balance. That's just to follow that three-legged stool analogy. You take one away, and the other two are going to be out of balance. And frankly, that is true often when it comes to our lives as human beings. I mean, you can think of that from the perspective of two kingdom work, that so much of what happens when it comes to human beings really is two kingdom stuff. Parenting involves two kingdom. I mean, all across the board. When it comes to our own bodies, I would argue we're dealing with the exact same thing, that there is a balance. This is why, on the one hand, Paul will talk about the benefits of physical discipline, but at the same time we'll say, but godly discipline is that much greater. It's not one or the other. It is both. The question is how do they fit, and how do I understand myself in the middle of all of this?
Where does the devil play a role in all of this?
Well, the devil's goal is always to drive the Christian away from God's promises. And anything that the devil can do to either turn us in upon ourselves, or to turn our hopes onto something else. So there we get false belief on the one hand, that is placing your faith in some place that is not reliable or someone that's not reliable, or despair, looking at yourself and recognizing that you are not reliable. In either of those cases, the devil has drawn the Christian away from Christ. And so if he can use the physical, that's great. So put your trust in this pill or this style of therapy, and that will fix everything. Once you get to that will fix everything, the radar should be going up. But in the same way, I have heard many, many times, and I'm sure you have as well, you'll find people that will argue that depression or anxiety, or you pick the mental illness or the mental disorder, that these are purely spiritual problems, and if you had more faith, then it would go away. Well, there, a part of what you're doing is denying the physical world. You're saying that there isn't a physical element to these things, and you take either one of those and try to pull them out of balance, and it is going to mess everything up. And I actually think, Todd, that this has implications kind of across the board when we talk about how we care for people who struggle with mental illness, is to recognize, okay, so there's probably sin involved. Well, chances are they're human beings, and if they're human beings, there's sin involved, because that's what we deal with everyone. So that should never surprise us. At the same time, they're also talking about an illness that has them trapped. So we can both be trapped by our diseases and sicknesses, while at the same time be complicit because of our sin.
Pastor Todd Peppercorn is our guest. He's senior pastor of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California, author of the book, I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression. We're talking about the devil, temptation, and depression this Monday afternoon on Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be right back. Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
When a Christian woman is critical of her own flesh, she holds her Creator in contempt.
Rose Adel from her new book, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Our Heavenly Father knit us together in the womb. He did not do a bad job. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14. That goes for everyone, including the one who thinks she's the ugliest of them all.
You can purchase and download Concordia Publishing House's new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically, at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the devil, temptation, and depression. Pastor Todd Peppercorn is our guest, author of the booklet, I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression. You can download it, by the way, for free at our website, issuesetc.org, and I recommend that you do. Issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand. A listener sent us some questions here, Todd, that I wanted to bounce off of you with respect to what we were talking about before the break, the devil's role in clinical depression. And one of the simplest ones, and I think this probably is one that might have occurred to you from time to time, does the devil plant thoughts in our minds? He's speaking as a person who suffers from depression.
That is a great question. And the reason why that is such a great question is I can't, off the top of my head, think of any place in the scriptures that gives Satan that power. I'm not saying that that is a yes or a no there, but I'm always hesitant to ascribe the devil's ability to do something when I'm not sure if I can point to a scripture passage that will say this specific thing he can do. Now, I mean, obviously, there's lots of places in the scriptures. I'm thinking of Ephesians 6 and Colossians. There's all kinds of places in the scriptures which talk about temptation and talk about the need for us to be guarded by the Word of God. I guess that the way that I would try to approach a question like that is, if I have thoughts of self harm or thoughts of despair, thoughts of self-loathing, whatever it may be, that are going on in my mind, I can be quite sure that that's not coming from God. And And if that's going against what the scriptures say, whether or not it's actually from Satan, I'm not sure it matters. The point is that that is contrary to the promises of God.
I want to put an underscore under what you just said there, because whether or not it comes from Satan or from my own imagination ultimately is irrelevant. The remedy for the Christian, whether they're Satan's lies or the lies I'm telling myself, is the truth of God's word.
That's exactly right. And oftentimes when it comes to these kind of questions or these kind of let's say spiritual maladies or spiritual problems, we can kind of obsess with trying to figure out the origin. So is this from the devil? Is it from the world? Or is it from my own sinful nature? Well, I'm not convinced that that matters. The important thing is to recognize it's not from God, and what does God actually promise? I get that. The rest of it kind of falls by the wayside.
So it gets the you mentioned here you didn't find a place in Scripture that said Satan has the ability to, say, read or speak into our minds, but we are certainly told that he tempts us, perhaps through other means he tempts us. Should we view these thoughts that, let's just say for the sake of argument, Todd, you know, for all intents and purposes, sound like they're coming from the devil? Should we view them as temptations?
That is a really good question and a tough one. And that's a perfect example of where, is this a mental illness? Is this an ideation that's coming from something broken in my brain? Or is it a spiritual temptation? I'm not sure I have a nice, clean answer for that. What I am going to have to get at, though, so let's say I put myself in this position as the sufferer, and heaven knows I understand that place very well. If I can recognize that this is not coming from God, this is coming from someplace else, then that puts me in a place of recognizing, okay, well, what does God say? And then what kind of help can I get so that whatever is causing this stops? I don't want to give Satan more power over us than he actually has. And so if I'm getting these temptations, and let's just, maybe we simplify it. Let's say I am tempted to sin. Okay, I see a magazine on a magazine rack, and it's got a cover that is making me think thoughts that I don't think are right. I can certainly say to that, get behind me, Satan. And whether or not that's coming from my own sinful nature or Satan doesn't actually matter. The point is that it is not from God. And that is going to draw me away from God and God's gifts to me and God's promises. So precisely where the source is, I don't think we have to stress about over much.
How much of this can be exacerbated by the confusion that comes along with depression?
Well, this is exactly the problem. Many times that happen when you talk about let's say talk therapy or medication or even Christian talk therapy, because if you have a Christian therapist that's saying, well, the problem is that you don't have a strong enough faith, if your faith were stronger, by which they mean if your willpower was stronger, then you wouldn't be having these thoughts. Well, now all of a sudden even the therapy is actually kind of satanic, because it's putting it back on you. And this is why it is so critically important for the Christian to be immersed in the promises of God, start to finish, because frankly, you never know when temptation or sickness or disease or injury or whatever it is going to come upon us. And these promises of God are what we cling to in times of hardship and trial. And so if these promises are in place, then whenever the voices, wherever the voices are coming from, when those voices start to draw us away from Christ, then that foundation that's in the Word of God is going to continue to shine forth. I wish I had clearer answers, but those are exactly the tough questions that are not easy, but we can't shy away from them.
Finally, you can speak from experience in your ongoing struggle with clinical depression, and what has been the benefit of that three-legged stool for you, the therapy, the drug regimen, and then the absolutely necessary connection with God's Word and His sacraments, that there is, in fact, life after depression. Talk about that for about a minute.
Absolutely. This is one of the most amazing times in terms of care for mental illness. We have more resources put into mental illness and mental disorders now than have ever happened. And the medication is getting more and more refined on a regular basis. Even the kinds of talk therapy that are in place are getting more and more refined. So kind of on the left-hand kingdom things, those are getting better all of the time. They are improving, and there's evidence to back that up. So that is a good thing. If you talk to a psychiatrist, and you're specifically talking about depression, they'll say, this is one of the most treatable mental illnesses. That doesn't mean it's easy. That doesn't mean it's going to be a piece of cake, but it is treatable. Now, what's more, and I've spoken about this many times, depression frees the Christian from the illusion that they can do everything themselves. That notion, if you're suffering from depression, is kind of obliterated. Well, honestly, that puts you in a great position to hear the gospel, because you don't believe you can do it yourself. If there's one thing you know, it's that you can't do it yourself. And so that actually is something that God can then turn around and use and say, now let me apply the healing balm, which can only come from Christ's resurrection from the dead. That is a tremendous gift. So I'm not at all trying to belittle the challenges and the hardships, but the gifts are there, the promises are there, the medical community is there. There are people and places on all three of those legs of the stool that can help. It is there.
Pastor Todd Peppercorn is senior pastor of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California, author of the booklet, I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression. Todd, thank you very much for being our guest.
Always my pleasure. You take care.
Folks, Issues Etc. is brought to you in part today by Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Find out about their advanced study retreats to strengthen pastors for the task of faithfully shepherding the souls that have been entrusted to their care at doxology.us. That's doxology.us. When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time with Robert Spencer. A lot of stories in the news that we need to deal with in a short amount of time with him. Attacks in Minnesota, New York, and New Jersey, the collapse of the caliphate, and increased terrorist attacks in Europe, and the killing of 25 in a Pakistani mosque by a suicide bomber. All that with Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch after this.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism, and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Moline, Illinois, invites you to join us in receiving the Lord's gifts in word and sacrament. Sunday services are at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. with Bible class and Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. We are located in the Quad Cities at 4107 21st Avenue, Moline, Illinois. Welcome in the name of our Lord.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We talk to the biggest names in religion today, liberal bishop John Shelby Spong.
I don't think Jesus ever preached the Sermon on the Mount, for example. I don't believe anybody ever took five loaves and two fish and fed 5,000 people. I don't believe that's possible to do.
Liberal Bible critic Bart Ehrman.
There's a difference between what the historical Jesus actually said and what the Gospels say he said. And to understand what the historical Jesus was really like, we have to get behind the Gospels.
Muslim critic of Christianity Reza Aslan.
By definition, the resurrection is an ahistorical event, and so therefore historians have no right, no business commenting upon it.
Where else on Christian radio will you hear these guests challenged with important questions? Talk radio for the thinking Christian, Issues, Etc. Listen live or on demand at issuesetc.org.